Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Just like Bill and Ted, it's my triumphant return.
I demand to speak to the woman.
Well, you'll have to wait. She's not here right now.
She dead?
No. But I do recall her saying something like, the captain's not here, blah, 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 so I'm taking over. So it's definitely Bonnie's world, and we're just living in it.
Just was as it people host- about that one.
Was it a hostile takeover?
No. It was actually helpful to me because I was telling you guys before the show tonight that at first when I was getting sick, I was just thinking it was like a regular ass flu.
It is flu season.
And I say that because when I had the COVIDs, before it was really studied or at least or known about and that kind of thing. When I had it, it was like the flu, a little more intense. But my symptoms were completely out of order from like a normal flu. Normally I would start with a runny nose, and then some sneezing and then some coughing and then the incessant face leaking, where you go through a couple boxes of tissue,
sounds like a fun Saturday night.
Yeah. And then of course it migrates into your lungs. Now I was a smoker for a really long time. I've been quit for over a decade. So hopefully, I've got some healing that has happened since then. That's the fable they say. The first 5 years after you quit smoking, your lungs tend to heal themselves at least as much as they can, depending on how much damage you did. But I still, because I was a smoker for so long, when it goes into my lungs, it really goes into my lungs. It feels like bronchitis. Right, and then it just sort of hangs out there for a while. And then it's the coughing and the coughing up the lung cookies, the lung butter, if you will. And I did have, blood in my loogies. So that was new, right? But up until that point, I was just this is just like a regular seasonal cold flu kind of thing. And then I lost my sense of taste for 3 days.
Oof.
And that's how I knew I had the COVID the first time, was my sense of taste just went away. And I was like, well, this sucks. I can't taste anything, right? And so that happened again. And so I stayed away for the requisite, almost 2 weeks. I came down with it on, a week ago, Tuesday or whatever. And so I missed all of last weekend's shows. Thanks to you guys and Bonnie and Steve Classic and Off-Grid Angie as well for, doing the job and having Bonnie fill in or take over, as it were. Contrary to popular opinion, no, I'm not dead. Or if I were, I've been resurrected. So
fake news.
Contrary to what you may have heard on the radio,
this
exact show,
I'm here and this is where I am. I'd just like to issue that correction. Oh man, it was not fun. I did not have fun. I there was a 3 day stretch different from the 3 day loss of taste where I just slept basically for 3 days. I only had one moment of, I'm not sure how to describe it, delusion. When I had COVID the first time, I had these weird periods of reality and dreams and thoughts, daydreaming just sort of meshing into each other, to where I wasn't I was having this sort of dream / daydream that something had happened. And I was like, oh, man, I got to text so-and-so about this. And I actually reached for my phone and picked it up and began texting to it. And then, as my brain sort of became aware that I was awake now and not in this lucid dream or whatever, I was like, wait a minute, that was a dream. That didn't happen. What the hell am I doing, right?
So I'm sending it to him anyway.
I know. Let him
figure it out.
I just hit delete or whatever. So I only had one moment of that as opposed to, several moments of that when I had the COVIDs the first time. So I'm significantly better. You'll probably hear a little more little more Tom Brokaw in my voice tonight.
It's a little scratchy.
It's a little scratchy, but I'm certainly well over the major symptoms. I'm, you know, no longer any temperature at all, and I've been free of that for at least 3 days.
You so are you're no longer pull... any temperature?
Well, you know, that any abnormal temperature.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're not going to pull a Mark and bring it back into the studio?
No, and okay. In fact, I don't think it was Mark that we got it from. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it was Michael Hampton.
Well, he gave it to Mark.
Well, he gave it to the studio because he came to the studio.
Okay.
Fresh out of the hospital after one of his visits, and then Mark and I both got it simultaneously.
Okay.
Well, Mark was a couple of days ahead.
I remember sitting in the studio with Mark, who was sick, and he went, "I'm sick. Don't worry, it's not COVID. You know how I know my cough is not dry. Would you like to see?"
And then do you see a dry cough?
No, you don't. He was going to like cough up some mucus for us to see that it wasn't a dry COVID cough.
Right? You know, in retrospect.
And then a few days later, you know.
In retrospect, I should have taken a photo of my Bloody Loogies because that would have been a good metal band name.
Okay. Bloody Loogies.
Thanks for coming out. We are, especially if you're in like England.
We
or
are
something.
The Bleeding Loogies.
The Bloody Loogies, right? That'd be a good like British, you know, heavy metal band name or something. I'm just thinking, because, you know, they use the word bloody different than us.
Sounds more like a punk band name to me.
Yeah, okay. I'll take that. Whatever. Could be crossover. Rich. Could be crossover. You know, they're punk and metal.
There you go.
Whatever it is. Either way,
you really wish you'd gotten the album cover art.
Well, that's kind of, it's like Metallica's Load. I'm not going to describe to you what that album cover actually is. You can go look for it yourself and figure it out. But, like, it would have kind of been the same-ish idea. Just like squashing your Bloody Loogie and like what are those little glass things that you do in science class? You
beaker?
The
ones you put in the
microscope.
Yeah,
those little plate. You just put your Loogie on a plate and then squish it with another plate and then zoom in on it, and take a photo of it, and that's your album cover.
Got it.
You know, that would have been cool. What's the name of the show, Richie?
Free Talk Live.
What's the telephone number, Peakless?
603-283-6160.
Very good. Very well. You can call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. Bonnie likes to say it's talk radio that you control. Yeah, I don't know about that.
It used to be.
That's like, do you really control it?
I mean,
like, you call in and talk about whatever you want, but like, you're not really controlling it.
I mean, that's taking control of the airwaves, you know.
Well, no, I think it is. I mean, I've had a lot of times when I wanted to discuss something as a co-host, and we just don't talk about that. We talk about whatever they call in to talk about, and that's what we're talking about.
But then, smartly, you are one of the hosts that you call in from time to time.
So we can talk about what I want to talk about. Yeah. I'm going to call in and take control of the airwaves.
Talk radio that Peakless Mountaineer can control.
As long as it's not on my night.
603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich. Happy Insurrection Day.
Happy Insurrection Day to all. When, as we know, the domestic terrorist Donald J. Trump led a gunless coup on the nation's capital, thus overthrowing the United States of America.
I was going to lead with Happy Everybody Learned What Lectern Means Day.
That's fair.
Because no one knew what lectern was. They were like, the guy with the podium. No, he didn't grab a podium. Oh. He grabbed a lectern.
The lectern is the thing that sits on top of a table that looks like a podium. It's like a mini podium.
It's podium-ish. It's just a lighter weight.
It's a porta-podium.
Porta-podium, yes. That's much precise, yes. Very, very significant on the point.
Much preciseness. Very wow.
Ironically, I have two podiums in storage.
Podii?
Podii. Because like, at one point, like it'd be good to have if we ever wanted to like set up a debate. Right? I'm like, I got two podiums.
Oh, yeah.
Film that.
No, and I have a debate just to use the podiums.
Right.
I don't care about the debate podium. Itself.
Yeah.
We should use those for something.
They're just sitting in storage, man.
And let me think on that. We could at least use them at the Fork and Pork.
Okay.
Because there's always like people who are like, there's even like impromptu debates.
Sure.
That happen where like, you know, during the fest, there'll be some mild drama. And it'll be like, oh, yeah? Well, Bob, why don't you debate me on this? And it'll be like, you know, okay, everybody, there's going to be a debate. It's like a like a bro down or a, you know.
I really could just have it handy for when someone just like goes off on a tear and they're on this monologue. You just run, grab your podium, put it in front of
them. If you're serious about this, right? Like what I really wanted to do a long time ago was have a full on judge debate, and it was going to be like the pointless debate where whatever you and your buddy were like bickering about, we were going to film it and put it on YouTube or community television or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was going to be full-on Lincoln Douglas style over whatever nonsense you had, right? Like, the Browns are the best team in the NFL, right? Well, let's debate it. You're the affirmative. You're the negative, right? Here, prepare your stuff, and we're gonna air this nonsense.
Affirmative, you have 3 minutes to lay out your case.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I'm going to come back to the Browns thing in just a second.
Because we're taking the Browns to the Super Bowl this year?
But... No, something different than that. We talked about Fork Fest and Pork Fest, so I just want to remind everybody that you can join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 13th through the 16th for the 8th annual Fork Fest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Fork Fest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which has sold out in recent years. Fork Fest happens the weekend before the Porcupine Freedom Festival and is decentralized, which means there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your campsite, your RV site, or your motel room with Rogers Campground for June 13th through the 16th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can connect with other attendees and join the ForkFest Telegram and the Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. Links to those are found at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there June 13th through the 16th, forkfest.party. And also...
We all know that it's the Detroit Lions that are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Okay.
Like they do every year.
Also, I'm told that there is a very good chance that Ari Demetzo will be out at the, we'll call it the end of May of this year, and according to what she's told me, I'm able to correspond with her from time to time electronically. She fully intends on being at Fork and Pork. So,
oh man,
awesome!
So, we've got to get a campsite and just build a mini jail to remind her of her time while she was gone.
Oh, God, what a horrible person you are!
We've got to make sure to nail the food, though. That's okay. Really.
I don't want to, like, what I've heard is that the food is acceptable. Like, it's not, you know, doesn't, I don't know what acceptable is anymore. I mean,
it provides all the nutrients you need to survive for the day.
So it's like that goop on the Matrix.
Right.
I gotta
imagine. Here's a bologna sandwich.
I gotta imagine that they're just, that all they're doing is just buying a bunch of, like, white labeled, you know, Hungry Man dinners, you know, nuking them up and serving them, you know.
I wish they were that good. Yeah, it's probably not even that good.
I don't know, but that's the rumor. The rumor is the food is surprisingly adequate, at least in the minimum security facility. I think she's FMC. I don't even know.
Whatever you say, man.
So anyway, back to the Cleveland Browns for a minute. Those of you who know sports ball, or at least football, you know that the Cleveland Browns were one of the OG, the original NFL teams. And then one day, they did a midnight move, literally. They packed up all their crap into a bunch of semi-trucks one very, very late night and moved to Baltimore and became the Baltimore Ravens. And then Cleveland didn't have a team for, I don't know, 5, 6, 8 years, something like that. And then...
I forgot about that.
And so the Baltimore Ravens are the Cleveland Browns for all intents and purposes as far as the ownership is concerned. And even at the time, the coaches and the players and all that stuff moved from Cleveland to Baltimore. Now, years passed, so that's all... You know, sort of been cycled through, but
for all we know, it could have been the Cleveland Browns that picked this exact team eventually.
Well, so then years later, the NFL decides to expand. It wants some new franchises. It wants to make the league bigger. And one of the cities awarded a franchise team was Cleveland. And they, of course, chose the Cleveland Browns because, you know, and so then, like,
they had to
figure out about, like, how the records were going to work because previously the Cleveland Brown records traveled to Baltimore with the Ravens or whatever, this kind of thing. So there was a little bit of a bureaucratic to-do about the whole thing.
Just fork the timeline.
Yeah. So it literally is. And so, like, whenever the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens play each other, it's called the Bizarro Bowl. because the Cleveland or the Baltimore Ravens
it's the alternate universe
are the
of
bizarro
each team.
Cleveland Browns, and then the Cleveland Browns aren't even really the Cleveland Browns; they're the new Cleveland Browns. So, you know, you figure it out. You do the math. What really got me though, knowing all of this, right? And it's been years since all of that happened, and now it's just like kind of funny to like people who know the history of it. I just happened to see the other day. It was like a replay on the sports thing or whatever, and the Baltimore Ravens have like an offensive lineman who's named Cleveland.
Nice.
So yeah, big long story. Not much.
I even wish there was a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah, I wish there was. Well, I wish there was like a Raven
that was
player.
Like trademark infringement on the Fox show.
You know, a guy named Raven who played for Cleveland would sort of balance it out. You know, anyway. You mentioned Richie Rich that it is Lectern Day.
Okay, or if you want to call that
Podium Day, or
I like Happy Insurrection Day.
Happy Insurrection
because
is
it's like,
it an insurrection?
No, but well, no. You know, neither did the 4th of July give us independence, so. Because we're still under the thumb of the government.
That's true. I have been known to call the 4th of July Dependence Day.
There you go. So, Insurrection Day, then?
Insurrection.
Outsurrection.
Whatever.
I just want it to be celebrated the same way. You know, say Happy Insurrection Day. You grill some hot dogs, you know, inside because it's cold up here. Set off some fireworks.
Inside because it's cold out here.
Sure, why not? You know.
So that's what the snakes are for, I always wondered.
Yeah.
Insurrection Day.
What's that poo as you light it on fire?
Yeah. But it's relatively safe to do indoors.
The spinning flowers. What?
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 What's safe to do indoors? Lighting poo on fire?
No, the snakes.
The fireworks.
I hate those. Those are like those are the most disappointing like thing you set on fire around the 4th of July. Yeah. Like the only thing like no, you know what's not even. No, I was gonna say those snap-it things, those little
pop pops.
Yeah, they look like they look like dry sperm.
Those are for kids.
You chuck them on the ground, they go pop.
So are snakes.
Okay, so what's wrong with the captain?
Well, many things.
Honestly,
where do we start? What is
wrong
with the captain?
The pop pops are so much more fun than
snakes. Yeah, I was gonna say that. Like the only thing I can think of that's more lame. No, wait, they're not.
We once unwrapped all the pop pops and was like putting it in a little Ziploc bag that we were going to explode later.
Yeah.
And then my little cousin wanted to help, and so he was like, he was helping for a good long time.
Okay.
Until he accidentally like dropped one too hard and just blew the whole bag up right on the picnic table that we were working on.
Are you guys, either of you old enough to remember caps?
Mm-hmm.
Like for cap guns?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The little roll of red with the little,
caps.
With the little you know, mark in the middle.
Yeah.
Now, I was poor, so I didn't have an actual gun to put this roll of caps in.
Mm.
So I got to sit on the front step, which was concrete, of the apartment building in which I lived. And then I had to borrow a hammer from, like, a neighbor because, well, we didn't even have a hammer. And then I also got to hit myself in the thumb repeatedly while trying to, you know, make these things go pow, right, as I hit them one after
the
other.
There was the belt-fed one and the revolver one, too. That would
just, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember other kids having that.
Okay. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I got over it. Not really.
Got to tell you, as one of those kids, it was awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
We're going to have to get Captain a pop gun. Pirate to the Caribbean, Captain.
Different Captain.
Oh, sorry.
That's got to be like the most dangerous place on Earth to play with a cap gun, though.
Where?
Porkfest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
everyone is actually armed.
Right.
I mean,
everyone's
like,
armed and somebody's on acid. That's why.
If you fired, you know, a real firearm, you know the difference between that sound and the sound of a cap going on.
Unless you're on acid.
I mean, maybe.
I don't know, man. 22s are pretty weak.
That's true. They are.
Yeah, comparable amount of noise there.
Maybe. It's been a while since I heard a cap gun.
We do have an article from the Epoch Times, and it is titled, An Explainer of January 6th and Its Aftermath.
Aftermath.
Now,
still feeling it today.
Is this a mansplainer? I haven't read this article, so okay. I don't know. Did you read it?
I skimmed it. I don't know if I'd call it a mansplainer.
All right.
But, I mean, you're going to be the one reading it now. So
I am a man.
Any woman listening.
And I'm going to explain this to you, so.
Any leftist female still listening to the show,
close your legs and listen up.
I was going to say, you got to spread your knees properly in order to mansplain.
Dear FCC,
sure that's how it works. I was told once that, like you could identify, like a man in disguise, like if he was wearing a dress, like trying to get away from something, you could identify a man in disguise by like just chucking something that would land relatively in his lap.
Okay.
And if he closed the legs, it was a dude, and if he opened the legs, he was a chick, because the chicks
used to... It's actually a scene from Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, chicks used to, they would open so that the dress could catch whatever was falling.
Ah.
In it, whereas the men would wear pants, and so they want to close their legs to catch whatever was falling.
Interesting theory.
And I've seen this in a couple of different places besides the Tom Sawyer as well. In
and Mark Twain did it first.
I believe that's at least where... In my mind, it originated from. It may have originated before that, though, because he had to observe it in order to write it. Right?
Maybe he was on acid and observed it in a dream.
And never the twain shall meet.
Oh. Either way, it's a good theory. Or just drop something in front of him and let him pick it up. Cause, like, chicks have a lower center of gravity, so they're better at those things.
Do they really?
Yeah. Huh. Generally.
Well, I've been mansplained.
Okay.
Thanks, Richie.
You're welcome.
January 6, 2021. Really? It's been that long ago?
3 years. And they're still talking about it.
Will forever be
still the fallout.
A prominent part of American history in ways that few people fully realize.
I believe it's called aftermath.
It was most certainly a fork in the road, according to the subheadline. It was a day of infamy. Worse than Pearl Harbor, 9/11, or even the Civil War, Americans were told.
They were told. It's not true, but they were told.
That is such horse hockey.
You're right. They were lied to, but they were still told.
Like, there was nothing about the guided tour of the Capitol on January 6th that resembled Pearl Harbor, 9/11, or even the Civil War.
There was broken windows and people trying to climb through it and getting shot.
I watched like three separate YouTube feeds of this thing from like people on the ground who were there.
There's
your problem. You watched actual people with actual footage. What you were supposed to do is turn on CNN and let them tell you what happened.
Yeah, well, I don't trust the criminal news network. Nor do I trust FAW News, FAUX.
Right? FAW News.
Phone is, yeah. Here's what I saw. I saw grandfathers with canes going, "Don't you dare!" Like, you know, old man shakes fist at cloud.
They were climbing walls. Thing,
you know, fences. I did see some scaling of walls.
Yeah.
And thought,
it's the most dangerous day in American history.
I thought, that looks like fun.
Until you get arrested for it.
603.
And they did run people down to do that.
603-283-6160. We'll talk more about the something-versary?
Insurrection-versary?
Yeah. Here on Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News, I'm Tim Berg. Former President Donald Trump appealed the Colorado Supreme Court's decision removing him from the ballot to the U.S. Supreme Court. The High Court quickly agreed to decide the case. Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul agrees with the court's decision.
Without question, the Supreme Court has to hear it. When I hear that it's going to be almost a month, though, until the hearing and perhaps longer to the ruling, I'm concerned that even that's too long. I think there needs to be an emergency injunction to shut down any of the states that are wanting to do this.
Millions along the East Coast are under a winter weather. Millions along the East Coast are under winter weather alerts this weekend. Forecasters say a storm will dump a mix of rain and snow in some cities like New York and Washington, D.C., while Boston could get slammed with at least 6 inches of snow, while other parts of upstate New York could get over a foot of snow. This is USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Cue the maraschino cherry. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Welcome back to Free Talk Live. Live from New Hampshire. It's Saturday night. He says with a little extra broca in his voice. I don't know why. I don't know if that's even true. Do I sound more broca? Or do I sound more like Peter Jennings or a little more Walter Cronkite, perhaps? I'm not even sure if.
The only one I can hear in my head is broca, and I would not say broca.
Okay. All right. Well, either way, I got a little extra something going on in there. Thank you, COVIDs. Although, I have to say that, like, I had the COVIDs the first time. And, I mean, it took me out. You know what I mean? It put me down for a good almost 2 weeks. Right?
Right.
This time was, I was over the major symptoms in probably 6 days, right, with the hang-on symptoms for another, 5 days or something like that. But it wasn't nearly as crippling. Like, I was able to function. I was able to check in on the show and, even fix a couple of things as it went wrong, even though I wasn't here physically, that kind of a thing. So I was able to check in on stuff and, maintain and that kind of a thing. I wasn't ever, like, incapacitated so much. Although, I did get a call from Mr. Ian Freeman, and I had freshly medicated myself, if you know what I mean. And so that was an interesting phone call. There was some, I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I'm like, sorry, dude, here, let me repeat what I'm trying to get at. Yeah, because I was freshly medicated.
Mm.
But that was probably the most, if there was an obstacle, right? That was the largest obstacle for me to hurdle. And it occurs to me, too, that right before I got sick, I did receive a shipment, something I ordered on Amazon.com from China.
You think you got it from China?
I'm just saying. It's weird.
Fresh from the Wuhan lab. Here's your order with COVID.
Yeah. You know, we don't know, right?
It'd be really surreptitious if they put it in, like, the COVID tests.
They're like, do we ship this guy the COVID package or the non-COVID package? Would you like to sit in the COVID section or the non-COVID section?
Don't give them ideas, man.
I'm actually surprised they didn't do that in the first
place. They almost did with the vaccine cards.
Well, no, they kind of did with the...
The non-COVID section was your home.
Okay.
Well, no, they did that thing with the whole, like, well, you can't eat inside, but you can eat outside. So here, let's build another inside-outside so that you're not eating inside.
Right. That was dumb.
Yeah. That was kind of like, that was definitely the COVID section.
Okay.
Right, if you will. The non-COVID section was just unoccupied.
Apparently.
All right. Oh, that's weird.
Something strange in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Apparently a ghost made him lose his tab.
No. A technical thing happened, and I had to untechnical it. And so now that I've done that, I saw something, and then
a flash of brilliance.
And then now, and no.
Pass the captain by once again.
Well, as it is wont to do. And now I see a totally different thing. So let's go to this unscreened caller. What's your name, please? You're live on the radio.
Hey, bud. I'm just a listener, bud. I just wanted to tell you if you can, it's like you're playing a live show over a tape show on the FM channel, and I'm just getting some weird stuff.
Really? So it's playing both of them simultaneously.
Yes.
They're
playing together.
What station are you listening to?
100.7 in Columbia, South Carolina.
107 Columbia, South Carolina. All right.
What do we do?
Well, I'm going to notify some wizards.
I just didn't know if y'all was aware. You know, I mean, it could be a local thing. I don't know, but
we were not aware.
Driving me crazy.
Yeah, no, we were not aware that was happening. We appreciate the notification, and thank you for the call.
I appreciate what you do, bud. Y'all have a good night.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. So from what I understand, the standard method for notifying wizards of anything is that you tell it to a butterfly.
Is it? Okay.
It worked for Gandalf.
Oh, okay. And the butterfly will deliver the message to the wizard?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Or from the wizard, in this case, to the eagles.
Is it only Gandalf, though, or does that work with, like, Merlin or
Why would or you Mr. want to get wizard? Hold of any other wizard?
I don't know. Aren't there wizards also, with special things?
Also, if only Gandalf can do this, I mean... You think they're not gonna catch up on that gap? You think Merlin's just gonna sit back and let Gandalf be the only one that can talk to people via butterfly?
No, I think the enemies are gonna send off little moth-looking butterflies to intercept the message and, you know, trick Gandalf.
Mm.
We received the message, but it's been intercepted and decoded.
So you think he's gonna have a butterfly that says, "I am a Nigerian prince, and if you will just send me this money,
or more, we got word from the president to launch the nukes." Right? And, you know, Gandalf goes, "Well, the butterfly told me," and then all of a sudden, it's like, "Well, if the butterfly delivered the message, you know."
All right, unleash Mordor.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, we gotta keep going. We're getting the wrap-up music. Okay, let's do this, because I don't know how long this is going to take, but apparently we have unfinished business on the concept of rights, as we were discussing last week, prior to Bonnie declaring victory and then moving along.
Mm.
So when we got here, we picked up the discussion and then started the show and kind of tabled the discussion to do live radio. You have the I'm gonna because we're on the air, I'm gonna say you have the what I'm gonna call the lawnmower conception of property rights. Like, I mow the grass, therefore this is mine.
So the idea that property comes from mixing your labor with nature.
Right. And mowing the grass is sufficient. Mixing of labor with nature.
It is one of an infinite number of examples of mixing your labor with nature. Yep.
And my conception is more so that it must be defended. And when I got to the studio, I said that...
So, which makes sense for you not believing in rights, because, okay, if there's no difference between a world with rights and a world without rights, then how would you say that they exist?
And with with your conception of it, I believe it's more like hanging out the sign out front that says this is a gun-free zone, right? Or guns not allowed here.
Well, right. So here's the difference. So we're going to go ahead and assume that you and I would rather not be shooting each other if we don't have to.
Well, we would assume that.
Mostly because one of us probably has a friend that would be upset by that, might come after us.
Right.
So if you and I had some dispute over, that's my cell phone, no, that's my cell phone, and then I can say, well, here's my receipt. Okay. Whereas, if you go, well, sure, that's your receipt, but I can prove that you stole that money. And then it goes, okay, well, then that would invalidate the claim that that's my cell phone, because I stole the money to buy it. The whole idea being that at some point, somebody mixed their labor with nature before anyone else did, and that's what gave them the first claim to the thing.
And I suggested that is insufficient. Because someone...
So now, the other way of looking at this is, okay, well, I can prove that I bought this cell phone. It's like, yeah, but you bought it with stolen money. Yup, I sure did. Or, by another view, I stole this cell phone. That makes it my rightful property, in as much as any right exists under your framework. Okay. Because I am capable of defending it. No one is currently stealing this from me, therefore it is mine.
Yes.
Yes, and that's retarded. Okay. That only leads to more and more conflict. Because then, instead of wanting to produce things of value for other individuals so that they willingly exchange things for what I've produced, instead, I just want to specialize in the ability to kill as many people as possible.
You won't get far.
Because I will be more effective at defending property if I'm more capable of killing instead of helping.
Okay. And what I'm going to go back, because now you're doing like the scooter thing, where you just keep going on and on. Your metrics for establishing property from the beginning is insufficient. And the example that I gave last week was wanting to keep a section of property pristine. Right? Like I want this river, this hill, this rock, right, to be as it is, because that's the way that I...
You're right. It does preclude the very concept of owning unaltered nature.
Right.
Yep. Yep. That's the trade-off.
Now, and that's not a trade-off I'm willing to make.
Well, what you get in exchange for that is the possibility of consistency.
And I would disagree with that, because if I want to keep it pristine...
So, like, by your view of what people ought to and not ought to be recognized as owning... You should do everything that the government tells you.
No, you should defend it against the government. But let me make my case. I was quiet for you to go on and on and drone on about cell phones and whatnot. If I want to keep the land pristine, I should be able to do that. And your view of, well, if I come along and mow you the grass, this automatically becomes mine. That, in my view, introduces conflict. And you, in your opening statement, established that we're both trying to set up a system that avoids conflict. And the easiest way to avoid conflict under the system of, like, well, it's mine, because I've declared it to be so and I can defend it, is just to recognize it as mine, instead of trying to establish an alternative claim to it, like you would.
Okay, so what are the rules for what you can and cannot claim, then?
That which you can and cannot defend. Like, that's it. If you can defend it... Against.
So then I don't even know what you have and haven't claimed until you shoot me for mowing the grass.
No, because again, you're assuming that everything wants to go to violence, and I'm saying this is a better way to remedy that.
So if you've decided this particular woods, these are my woods, yep. I own them, I'm keeping them natural, yep. And I really want to get some of that wood that's right there that no one's using.
Yep.
Okay,
and I go, hey,
how are we supposed to not be at conflict?
Then? I go, hey, Peakless, like, these are my woods.
Why are they yours?
Because I've declared it to be so, and you want to be peaceful, and I want to be peaceful. So I go, Peakless, those are my woods. You know, I want to keep them pristine. And you go, oh, sorry, bro, I didn't know that these were yours.
Oh, well,
I'm not going to chop anything down.
I claimed those woods before you did.
And then now we're at conflict, regardless of whether or not there's grass growing that needs to be mowed down. Because the criminal that would override that and insert conflict is going to insert conflict whether or not you mowed the grass.
How do you know it's right or not? Like, maybe I did actually claim that forest before you did.
Okay.
And that's exactly the conflict that is avoided by going not to just first claim, but to first alteration, by first mixing your labor with that nature. That is an objectively observable phenomenon, whereas, oh, I claimed it.
But it precludes, again, it precludes any ability to keep things pristine. Whereas respect for other people's property, which I hope you would do, right, and respecting other people's claims to property, however or not that is recorded, right, go to the local property registrar and go, yeah, look, he claimed it, right? You could set that system up. It's not necessary, right? You go like, well, this is Rich's woods. You go 3 yards to the left. You can have all the wood you want, right? But 3 yards to the right, you're infringing, right? And if you don't respect it, then we're at conflict just as much so if you mow the grass.
Okay, so then my incentive is to bribe the clerk.
If you mowed the grass and I'm not going to respect it, again, it's like putting a sign up that says this is a gun-free zone. Like, I don't care that you mowed the grass, I'm still going to assert my claim against it. And then we're still in conflict. Your solution doesn't remedy any of the conflict.
Well,
it just pretends to remedy it by putting up a sign that says no conflict.
With this, there is a possible way to remain out of conflict. With your system, there is no possible way to remain out of conflict.
No, you remain out of conflict by going like, okay, I respect that this is yours and you want to keep it pristine. Like, that's the non-governmental intervention. Right, it's I see that you have claimed this. I'm not going to infringe because
So there's no way of knowing how much property you can claim until you are forced to prove that you can defend it. There's no way of knowing what you are and are not capable of defending until I test that.
So don't test it. Or test it.
So
if you want to get into conflict, test it. If you don't want conflict, don't test it.
Right, but how does one know how much property you are capable of defending in the first place? Like, if you claim, you know, I have this 5-acre, you know, patch of property, right?
Yep.
Just for a recognizable number, a figure of measure that, you know, is common, right? You've got 5 acres of property, right?
Yep.
I have no idea which 5 acres are yours.
You're correct, you don't.
So how am I to know that in advance of trespassing?
Again,
or
maybe I register it with a third party.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I just inform you that you're trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Maybe I have signage marked, you know, to keep it pristine. I put, like, markers around it.
Right.
That everything within this is pristine.
So it still puts everyone in the position where their incentive is to get as much killing power as possible and then take over as much land as possible because it is then rightfully theirs.
And in your case, all they have to do is mow the grass and it's the same situation. Whoever mows the most grass owns the most property is equally ludicrous.
Whoever produces the most labor owns the most property.
By mowing the grass. Okay.
Mowing the grass is A, among infinite number of ways of mixing your labor with property.
But sufficient.
Help a layman out here. Like,
what my system incentivizes is labor.
But labor's
of all varieties.
But labor's not the be-all, end-all. Busy work is not productive value either.
Help a layman out here. I have a driveway, and then next to my driveway is the neighbor's driveway.
Mm.
And if I got my snowblower out, because, you know, we're getting, you know, a couple feet of snow or whatever, and I, as a courtesy, as a neighborly thing, decide that, man, I got the thing out, gassed up, ready to go already anyway, and, like, it's, you know, not even that big a deal. I go over and I snowblow the neighbor's driveway. Mm. Do I now own the neighbor's driveway?
No.
Why
because
not?
He did it first. He mixed his labor with nature first.
By putting up the driveway.
Right. So,
I mean,
you can tell
the
difference between, like...
He didn't put it up, right?
Either way.
Okay. It's a traceable
either
claim.
Either way. Right. So, like, you can tell the difference between the woods and the driveway.
But how many times...
somebody mixed their labor with nature,
How many times must I snowblow the neighbor's driveway and or mow the neighbor's lawn until that property becomes mine?
It doesn't.
It never does.
Okay, so you guys can agree on this. What are you arguing about?
I think you should be able to keep land pristine. And
he thinks that the measurement of whether you have a rightful claim to something is whether or not you can defend it. And I think that is only going to ask for conflict.
Because if your neighbor, if you wanted your neighbor's driveway, right, and you're a criminal, right, it doesn't matter that he put up the driveway. You're just going to take it. And if he doesn't defend it from you taking, it's and still going to become yours.
And if we have no social agreements about you can't just take people's stuff.
It's a social agreement. You can already do that with pristine land. That's part of it. It's that social agreement not to infringe on another man's claim that you seem insistent on infringing upon in the name of, well, I'm just going to take it all because I'm bigger and stronger. And that's how some people in society operate, and those are the people that need to be defended against.
Okay,
not the common respectful members of society who will honor another man's
claim. Either side of it, whether you're a good person or a bad person, whether you're trying to get more land,
good person's not going to infringe.
Or whether you are just trying to defend your pristine land, in either case, you are incentivized to be a part of the biggest gang you possibly can.
No, you don't have to be a part of any gang. If people are respectful,
Someone decides that that is theirs and they have a bigger gang than you, then it's theirs.
Then you defend against it.
That's the whole point of having a bigger gang than you, is that you can't defend against a bigger gang.
You can't do that anyway. You can't do that in your system anyway, because the bigger gang is going to take over whatever claim. Bribe the clerk who's got the records of this is Peekless's mowed grass, and so you're going to lose it anyway.
And here's the difference.
Because
so
you've signed my system, gang-free zone, if that doesn't apply to them.
Right, so in my system, I have this property, whatever it is, that I've mixed my labor with
you. You've mixed your labor with it.
Right.
The gang comes to take it from you.
Right.
And now, you do what?
Well, so here's the difference.
Nope, you do what? Answer my question. The gang comes to your property, your mowed grass,
again,
and says, this is mine.
We're assuming in this case that it is more than I can defend against, because it's a bigger gang than me.
Then they're going to take it anyway.
Would you please let me just say this one thing?
One thing.
Okay. The difference is that other people can then not respect their right to that stolen property.
You can do that system.
So
that's your one thing.
No, you absolutely
can
cannot.
Do that in this system.
You absolutely
because your neighbors
cannot,
because are going to respect your property.
No, because they have defended it, which gives them the highest right. And since defense of property is the only thing that gives you a right to property in your system, then they have every right to then sell parcels of that newly stolen property.
Or have it stolen back by anybody who's willing. They have to be able to defend it. It would be gone just as soon as they got it by someone else willing to claim it. Even if that someone is you on the rebound, licking your wounds, coming back with your neighbor's support. If you want to avoid conflict, you don't put up you don't do those barriers. You just respect other people's rights. And putting up a sign that says gang free zone stop the gang.
And what right would you respect?
The claim. The claim to the property. In whatever form it may take.
So you're still putting a claim above the actual ability to defend.
No, because you have to defend the claim. You claim it. Most people respect it. You have those people like you who won't respect it.
In order to defend a thing, it has to be claimed, right?
Well, okay, sure, why not?
Okay.
So you claim, like, this is my pristine property.
This is my 1 acre. Whatever.
One acre. Yeah. I want to keep it the way it is.
Yep.
I like the woods. I like the way the stream flows.
Yep.
I like the bugs being able to go in the grass that's growing naturally. Yep. Right. This is my 1 acre.
I like the annual mosquitoes from the standing water.
Right. Now, this is my 1 acre. I keep it pristine.
Yep.
A gang comes to take it. I defend it.
Okay.
Or I don't defend it.
Yep.
If I don't defend it, the gang takes it.
Okay.
Right? In his property system, I mow that grass, and a gang comes to take it. And I'm unable to defend it, even though on paper I have this right to it. I have a right. This is mine. You are not allowed to take it. Has never stopped a criminal in the history of all criminality.
Well,
they will take it.
So here's the
and
difference.
Then what do you do once they take it?
Well, and here's the difference, is how long you can keep that up. So now, if everyone recognizes that that newly stolen property is their rightful property and helps them just as much and trades with them just as much as if they hadn't stolen, if that's the basis of ownership, then they can keep doing that. Whereas, if people don't trade with that guy because he's an a-hole, Because he's not respecting the basic idea of, well, no, that guy actually put work into this,
that's
and then
already
you came
possible.
Along and took it.
That's already possible in my setup. He's got the newfound gang who claims it doesn't automatically get to trade with anybody in the neighborhood.
Yeah, no, the only difference is that I require that your claim be backed up with putting something into it. Instead of just, I get to claim whatever I can take from other people.
It's not what you can take from other people. They will defend against it. It's incentivized.
Right.
Against
that's called taking, is when they defend against it and fail.
Yeah, and then they can come back and anybody else can take it back. It's not like they're going to maraud through, right? And all, oh, because you stole it from Bill, we're going to trade with you. No, they don't want you infringing on them. They're going to stop you.
Yeah, this is one of the things that a centralized bureaucracy, I'm loath to say, helped humans with, right, is the registration of things.
Yeah, we don't need that anymore, though. We have blockchain.
Right, I understand that. But
my pristine land
that,
registered on the blockchain.
Right. Historically, it would be, Richie Rich has purchased this 1 acre of pristine land from... You know, the bill over here.
Whatever.
And,
okay.
And they exchanged some money, and so they you know made a certificate or whatever, and they you know lodged it with the local registrar and or the blockchain, depending on what time you're in.
And a criminal's still not going to recognize that if they want to take it from you.
Correct.
Okay.
So you have to be able to defend.
So if it is equal in validity to you claim this particular forest or you claim all of North America, then it's incentivizing someone to claim what they can't actually defend and just see if everyone falls for it.
Well, that would be wise, and I doubt anyone would fall for it.
However, let's just say this gang takes over. And
like you slippery slope all the way down to the most absurd final solution.
A gang takes over.
It's ridiculous.
A gang takes over your 1 acre. You attempt to defend it and fail.
You fail.
Right? Maybe you don't die or whatever, but you fail to defend it and they take it. What is to prevent them from, you know, using your land for their will at this point?
At this point, nothing, but they're going to do that anyway.
No, I disagree. There is stuff to prevent them from using your land for their will, and we can talk about that when we come back. It's Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. Where do you fall on this debate? Are you on the Peakless side or the Richie Rich side? Give us a call. Let us know. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.